It's time for Cooking with Julia, the most delicious hour of your week. A program where we chat about what's cooking in Central Oregon. Every Saturday morning at this time, we invite you to call 388-1110 and bring your questions and comments about all things food to the table. And here's your host, Julia Gray, Central Oregon's Queen of the Kitchen, the Duchess of Delicious, the Princess of Pastry, and Lady Diner herself, here's Julia!
Hey, welcome to Cooking with Julia. I'm Julia Gray, saying goodbye to Doug there. We were chatting about things. How's your week? Hope it was great. I don't know. My degrees are not up there. I can't tell you what the temperature is, but I believe it's 40, 41, 42 degrees. We're supposed to be mostly cloudy today. It's kind of a grayish sky out there. I don't really see clouds, just kind of bizarre sky. But we're supposed to have rain off and on. We'll just see. You know, sometimes weather forecasters don't quite get Central Oregon weather. But we know when they say we're supposed to have rain off and on, it means, yeah, it's going to rain somewhere, but maybe not where you are. Again, I hope you guys had a great week. I do have one quick announcement again. Monday is a holiday, actually. It's a federal holiday, Martin Luther King Day, also called a day of service. But it's the next Women Tasting Wine event. It's going to be, as always, at Jackalope Grill. They're going to be featuring Italian wines from the Piedmont region. And so you can get more information by just Googling Women Tasting Wines, or you can go to the Jackalope Grill website and find out more. Make your reservation. It's all so much fun. And then Diane Senko with Ben Winecellar, who puts this on, said they have a real coup for February 21st. Patty Green is going to be here to present wonderful wines from her own Patricia Green cellars. So we'll talk more about that later. But there you go. Women Tasting Wine on Monday. If you haven't made your reservation and want to try it out, it's a hoot. Really a lot of fun. Learn a lot. Eat a lot of very good food and taste some excellent wines. Okay. Now I want to get to my guest. I'm going to preface this with a little story. Well, no, first I'll introduce you. Erin Leslie, Brand 33 out at Aspen Lakes. Welcome, Erin.
Good morning, Julia. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And we just gave, and we'll talk about this in a bit, we gave away your golfing.
Yeah, it's a putting dinner on Sunday night.
Yeah,
a
putting dinner. So you can putt around.
So we're going to set up an indoor 18-hole putting course. So you come in, you play some 18 holes of short game, and then you
must be very short. I mean, it's in your lodge there?
Yeah, but we utilize the whole entire lodge. Okay. It's a really fun time. We have some prizes to give away.
Cool.
And then everybody goes and sits down, have a little bit to drink, and a nice three-course meal to go along with it.
What are you going to be serving?
We're serving our Aspen Lakes mixed green salad, which is always delightful.
Very good.
And then we have some Pacific salmon that we're going to be serving, or some baseball cut top sirloin, nice and thick and juicy.
Wow. Delicious, delicious. And there's still reservations available?
Yep, reservations are available. Give us a call at 541-549-FOOD.
How easy is that? Now, I've already put that contact information on the website, and getting to the Cooking with Julia page, I know a lot of you have emailed me or called and said, oh, I can't find it. It is our new website is so jam-packed with stuff, it can be a little bit tricky. But if you go to KBND.com, and you'll see this little bar right under the KBND logo where it says KBND News, Sports, and so on. Go to Programs, and just put your mouse over that, and you'll see a big old drop-down box with all these names on it, and just find Julia Gray. Hold your mouse over that, and over off to the side, it'll say Cooking with Julia, and click on that, and there you go. But I do have a link to the Brand 33 restaurant website, plus their phone number and address and all that good stuff. Now, what I wanted to tell everybody is that a couple weeks ago, New Year's Eve, you had a crab feed, and I went to that, took my family, and saw you as we first walked in the door. And I forgot to tell you, you know, did you notice we're all wearing our stretchy pants?
Ready to eat.
We were ready. And my son-in-law, who's a big eater, really, boy, gave you a run for your money. And you said one guy ate eight crabs.
Eight crabs. It was amazing.
That, I mean, he didn't eat eight, but he was brushing up against that because we easily went through three buckets. They had to empty our bucket at least three times. So.
I bet you if I tried hard, I could do three and a half maybe. But eight crabs, that is an accomplishment.
Yeah, that is. Because that, if you know how to, what John Nelson calls shake a crab, in other words, get all the meat out of every crevice and everything, there's a lot of meat in those.
There's a lot of meat.
It was Oregon Dungeness crab?
Yep, Dungeness crab from Newport. We work with a seafood fisherman that goes out and gets her crab for us and brings it in fresh, and we get it right off his boat, and you know.
It was the sweetest crab I've ever had. It was such a delight, and thank you so much. And I hope you're going to do it again.
Yeah, we're going to do it on January 28th.
Wow.
Yeah, so 2 weeks from now, we're going to be having another crab feed. And we're going to have crab and oysters and pasta and bread. I mean, so much food, you won't even believe it.
Yeah, there is a lot of food. And crab, this is a very good season for crab.
This is a great season for crab. The crabs are nice and big, and the crabs are, you know, a decent price this year. Even for, you know, people going to the grocery store, they're not really, you know, going up to those $8, $9 a pound that no one wants to see. So it is just, you know, delicious crab this year. And we get it so fresh, unless you catch it yourself, you're not going to taste any fresher or sweeter crab.
And yeah, and I know that, I don't know what you do, what you season when you cook it, but it's just excellent. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Salt, salt, and salt.
Really?
Yeah, it's really important to add a lot of salt to your water and continue adding salt as you continue cooking your crabs. But, you know, the crab has such a nice flavor. The Dungeness
really
crab
does.
Is delicious. Yeah. Lots of meat on Dungeness crab, too.
Yes. And I suppose that somebody can come out if you're not sure how to find those little nooks and crannies. Because a lot of people, I'm sure you've seen this, throw away a piece that's like really has a big chunk of...
It's devastating to watch people that are new at cracking crab. We provide instructions on every single table at our crab feeds. And if you see me walking around, I will come and I will show you where all your meat is. But there's still people that... just miss that whole entire body meat where
right where all the legs join together.
Yeah, there's
some really good stuff in there.
Whole spot of body meat there, and it tastes exactly the same as the rest of the crab.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I think that a lot of people miss out thinking that you got to have a claw or a big leg piece, but there's all the delicious crab in there.
Yeah. So once again, that crab feed is the 28th. You said.
Yeah, January 28th.
All right.
It starts at 5:30.
If anybody has a question, 541-388-1110. Now, Aaron, what else is going on? There's a lot. Man, Aspen Lakes, Grand 33, always
We always have tons of stuff going on.
Yeah.
We do lots of events. Some of our weekly events, we do Rib Night or Man Night. Every Wednesday night is rib night. So we have specials on our smoked ribs. We smoke all of our own ribs and slow cook them for just peel off the bone good ribs. House-made barbecue sauce. It's a whiskey bourbon barbecue sauce. And so we do that on Wednesday nights. Fresh coleslaw that goes along with it. We do a honey Dijon coleslaw.
Okay, that's okay.
Sorry, I got...
Something a little bit different. That's okay. Yeah. It'll come to you.
And then Thursday nights, we also do martini night every week.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a fantastically fun night for ladies. We call it ladies night because we have man's night on Wednesday. We have ladies night on Thursday.
And ladies like the cocktails.
Yeah, our resident bartender and mixologist, John, does a fantastic job putting together beautiful martinis every week. We have a little appetizer menu that goes along with the martinis. So little bites that you can get. We also have prawns for, I think, 20 cents a prawn.
Wow.
Yeah, on Thursday nights.
So holy moly.
Yeah, you come out, you have some martinis, you have some prawns. You know, it's just a fun time.
And plus, it's a great venue. Just gorgeous out there.
Yeah, we do it in the Frog Pond Grill. Mm-hmm. And it's a nice, cozy atmosphere. You know, you can also come and have the same martinis in our dining room, though. It's just a really fun time for everyone.
Wow, that does. Boy, 20 cents a prawn, that's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
And I mean, we are going to be talking, and during the show, we're going to be talking a lot about some seafood, shellfish, things like that. So kind of as a nice little segue. But God, I had another question here for you. Oh, speaking of venues, right after this, you're heading over to the wedding show.
Yeah, wedding show at the River House. We like to make sure that all the newlyweds, people that are going to be newlyweds,
prospective brides
and grooms, know that Aspen Lakes is just a beautiful venue for your weddings and your rehearsal dinners. We do a great job at doing weddings.
Yeah, it is gorgeous out there. And, you know, it's a nice little drive. And people who have listened to the show for a long time have heard me say over and over, I love the drive up towards Sisters. And Aspen Lakes just, they really took advantage of the views and built a beautiful facility out there. And
they did such a nice job. I feel so lucky to be able to work at Aspen Lakes for the people that I work for. They didn't spare anything when they were making their lodge there.
Yeah.
It's so nice to be able to give our guests such an experience. The mountain views there's nowhere that I've seen that has the mountain views that Aspen Lakes Lodge has.
So if you think that looking at it is gorgeous, getting the pictures done there has to be gorgeous too. So.
Well, and we also have the golf course for the pictures. So you go out to some of the lakes and get your pictures taken by the lake. Then you come back to the lodge where all your guests have been eating appetizers and continue on with the rest of your wedding. So.
Wow. Well, we already have to take a break. We're past time, so I'm going to get my hand slapped here. But like I said, we are going to be talking about shellfish, seafood, things like that. If you have a question about, well, anything, Aaron's, you've been a chef for how many years?
17 years.
Yeah, so he knows his business. And we'll answer any question. And if you want to find out more about Aspen Lakes, you have a question about that, you can call on that too, 541-388-1110. But right now we do have to hear from some of our sponsors. You're listening to Cooking with Julia on News Talk 1110 KBND. Okay, that's called Moose Burger Stomp. You know, all my music has to be food related. It's from Northern Exposure, one of my favorite all-time shows of all time, and I wish it was still on somewhere so I could watch it.
I love Northern Exposure.
Don't you? Isn't that the quirkiest, coolest little show? And I watched it when I lived in Southern California, so it really made me want to move up into the area, you know, because I'm like, oh, it's so cool.
It was filmed in Washington.
I know. I know. Redmond, Washington, in that area.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... But I'm sorry, they don't play the reruns now, sadly. I know you can buy the DVDs and watch it that way, but...
Netflix.
True. That's true. I have as my guest Aaron Leslie from Brand 33 Restaurant out at Aspen Lakes. He's been on several times, and we're talking about shellfish now because it is shellfish season. And so I have some questions for you. First off, I wanted to talk about, which is not shellfish, but it is seafood, and that's calamari. And big, either you like it or you don't. And I'm in the don't column. The rest of my family is in the yes column.
I like calamari, and it's such a versatile fish. I guess you call it a fish.
Yeah, I don't know what.
It's got to be a fish.
It's a fish of some. Yeah, it's true. But if it has another name, I don't know what it is. But so cooking it. Do you cook the tentacles and the body?
Yes, I do.
Excuse me.
People love the tentacles. If you leave out the tentacles, people feel like they've been missed. And once a calamari or it gets too big, then I haven't seen tentacles that are off of a giant squid. But generally, you cook the smaller ones because I think that they're much more tender.
So you just cook them whole?
Yep, cut them off, clean them, and cook them whole.
Now, from what I understand, calamari is either you cook it fast or really long.
It's like octopus. Octopus, you have to cook really long. It's like a braising to get it to really soften up a little bit. And if you're going to do like a stuffed squid body, you definitely want to stuff it with something that can hold the time that you're going to
cook. Or have it for. Pre-cooked.
Or pre-cook it, yeah. And then stuff it. A lot of like brown rices, if you just do a little short cook on your brown rice and then stuff your squid with some brown rice, and some, you know, flavors, and then let your squid cook for kind of low and slow for, you know, that 3-4 hours.
That long?
Yeah, and yikes. It really makes it tender up. Or you can stick it, if you have a steamer, you can stick it in a steamer for a few hours. And same with octopus. You take those, all those big, you know, legs off of the octopus and cut them into rings, put it into a steamer for a few hours and let it cook for a good 2.5-3 hours. Mm. If not, it's going to be almost too chewy to eat.
Wow. And seasoning for that, does it only hold certain seasonings, or can it take just about anything?
I think it can take just about anything, because depending on where you are, especially in the Asian world, they use a lot of octopus and squid, and their flavors range so much from just straight, you want to have a little bit of salt to give you that, you know, extra fishy flavor, to all their curries and, you know, and as, you know, North Americans, we really like the onion flavors and the garlic flavors in there, and it really does hold a lot of those nice flavors. A lot of people think a calamari is just a deep fried product. You know, you throw some breading on it, throw it in the deep fryer, and you have it with some bar food. But it's really nice if you can do a, you know, quick saute in a pan with a little bit of olive oil, a little bit of either garlic, sometimes chipotle peppers, you know, give it a little spice to it, little onion, and it makes great with salad.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So you put it in the salad.
Or you put it on top of your salad. You know, like some people like chicken Caesar salad or shrimp with their, you know, their green salad. You know, a quick saute on your calamari with some onions or, you know, peppers. And it makes a great addition to your salad.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? Okay, let's go to the next one. Clams. And you said you don't really work with, I mean, you prefer... oysters.
I prefer oysters.
Yeah, but let's talk about clams.
All right, let's talk about clams.
Yeah, there's a lot of different clams out there, aren't
there?
There's
a lot of different types of clams. Yeah. And the most popular ones, at least on the West Coast here, are razor clams. And once again, is mostly known for its deep frying capabilities.
Hasn't met a fryer didn't like.
Yeah, and then the Manila clams, which are the smaller ones. You know, everybody, they have a really nice sweet flavor to them. And then there's... they're cockle clams that you can get on the coast. So I'm sure on the coast that they're more popular.
Yeah. Now cleaning them, just taking a brush to them. Sometimes, you know, when you cook them, you might get some sand in there, or what seems to be the sand. Or...
Yeah. And shellfish are really known for residual sand, because they live in the sand and they filter the sand and they eat the sand. And so what you're going to want to do is if you're collecting the shellfish yourself, because most of your seafood mongers, your fishmongers, will actually have cleaned the clams or your oysters previous to you getting them. But if you go to the coast and you collect your own shellfish, you're going to want to put them in a bucket with a depending on the size of how many clams you have. If you have, you know, a bushel of clams, a good 2 cups of cornmeal with some water, nice, cold, fresh ocean water is going to work really well, too. Mm. Keeps that nice salt flavor and keeps them nice and healthy.
And then the clams use the cornmeal to filter out all the
stuff. They eat the cornmeal. They flush out the sand, and then the cornmeal actually breaks down in the clams, so you don't actually eat the cornmeal.
So there you go. So you can try to avoid some of that crunch that you might get. Do you make a clam chowder?
Oh, I love clam chowder.
Ugh, isn't it good?
Yeah. I use lots of bacon in my clam chowder.
There you go.
I always put corn in my clam chowder, and I know that that's not a traditional Oregon clam chowder, I spent a lot of time up in British Columbia, and if you don't put corn in your clam chowder, people aren't going to buy it.
Yeah, well, I do like the corn in there.
It gives a little sweet flavor. I'm a really big fan of corn and to be able to utilize corn. So, you know, I just find that if you don't put a little bit of corn in your chowder, something's missing.
Yeah, very, very good. And you just season it with salt and pepper, or do you put it... What's the love you put in it besides the bacon?
I mean, the bacon has a really big, gives it some of that salt flavor.
Yeah.
I make a vegetable base that I add to it, and lots of heavy cream.
Oh, well.
heavy cream is love.
Yes, it is. So cream, butter, chocolate, bacon, we're talking good stuff. I wanted to get to the next one, but we already have to take another break. See, when I have, you know, this show just goes way too fast, and we've got so much to talk about. But we do have to take a break to hear some news. And you know what? Aaron wants to give away something special for our giveaway.
Yeah, I'm going to give away dinner for two to our next crab feed on January 28th.
Yeah, there we go. January 28th. If you want to experience something, if you've not been to a crab feed, boy, is it fun and delicious. And which caller should we take?
I think we should take caller number 3.
That's fast.
For 33.
Okay, well, there, we could take
caller 33. We could take 33. Caller 33.
No, our caller note.
Yeah, let's go 33. All right.
33. Okay, everybody, get those dialing fingers going. We're going all the way up to caller 33 for Brand 33 Restaurant, and you'll win that crab feed for two. 541-388-1110. We'll be back shortly. Don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me. And welcome back to Cooking with Julia. I'm Julia Gray. And hey, that was a lot of fun. Caller 33, and you guys are really good at keeping calling. And Jeff Thompson, you're going to be enjoying that crab feed. I recommend you wear your stretchy pants because because it's so good. It's so good. And before Doug Stott left here, we were talking, and he said he might be able to go to it. So I don't know, Doug and me and maybe his wife, we might show up for that too again, just because, you know, I don't get to eat crab that often. And since it's such a good deal and you guys do such a good job and make it so fun that...
It's so fun. And it's such a great opportunity for us to be able to cook all this crab for the community and, you know, have everyone come out and enjoy it and just have such a good time.
Do you ever do anything with all those shells? You just throw them away.
I'm not too sure that there's too. I mean, I'm sure there's.
Yeah, I guess it.
Maybe if you ground them up, you could feed them to a chicken or something.
That's true. Yeah.
But no. Some of the kids last time took the tops of the crabs and made some candle holders out of them.
Oh.
So you know, there's some little crafts that you can do with them.
Yeah.
But you know, for the 400 pounds of crab shells. I don't think that there's a whole lot.
So you get 400 pounds for these crab feeds?
Or more.
Really?
Yep. So depending on what our reservations are looking like, we go to Newport the day before and deal with our fishermen and get it right off of the boat for us. So
I'd like to meet the gentleman, if he's listening, that ate 8 crabs. Would you give us a call, 541-388-1110? I want to see how you did that.
See how you were the next day after 8 crabs.
And he's probably a little guy.
You know? He was a decent-sized guy.
Yeah.
So.
That's you could almost do a contest, you know, crab eating contest, you know. That would be fun. Oh, 8 crabs, though, because those are big crabs.
You'd have to make sure that the person gets all the crab, too.
Yes.
So it'd be you have to go by weight.
Yeah. And we're talking about shellfish, seafood here today. It's kind of, you know, that time of year. And if you have a question, you know, always, we love our callers, 388-1110, of course, area code 541. I'm still not used to throwing that in every time, but do give us a call and share your stories. But we are, like I said, I want to get back, and you said that you like to cook mussels.
Yep.
What kind of mussels? Any kind? Or
Green mussels, PEI mussels.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two major types of mussels that we get around here.
The green mussels, they're very sweet, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how do you usually cook them?
You know, there's a few ways to do them. You always want to steam them. So you get a nice saute pan that you have a heavy bottom on with a lid that fits on the top. Usually you want to start with some sort of wine, be it white or red. And if you're going to go with a white wine steam, a lot of people just go straight white wine, onions, some garlic, salt and pepper, and bring it up and wait until those just pop.
Just pop. And right then, as soon as they pop, then they're ready. You don't want to cook them much longer.
Else then they start to get really chewy.
Rubbery.
But another good way to do it is with some red wine. And take some tomato sauce you know, a nice homemade chunky tomato sauce would be good. Some peppers in there kind of gives you a little bit extra with your clam or with your mussels.
Mussels, I love mussels. I really do. We do have a caller on the line. Hi, welcome to Cooking with Julia.
Hello.
Hello.
I have a question for you. If you're at the store and you're buying clams fresh, how do you know if they're good or bad?
If they're nice, tightly closed, chances are they're good. You can give a knock on them, and if they sound like there's nice body in there, they're going to be nice and fresh for you. And then once you cook them, if they pop open, then they're for sure fresh. If they're open at the store and you give them a little knock on top of the shell, they should close right away. And if they don't close right away, then I would not even come close to them. And if they've got a nice, like a hollow sound to them, or, you know, you'll notice, because the clams that you're buying hopefully has some nice fresh clams around it. Mm-hmm. The one that doesn't sound fresh like the other ones, it's a real kind of meaty, deep sound. If you just give a little knock with your fingernail, you'll be able to tell.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling.
No problem.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of people are just starting to work with, you know, younger chefs there that are starting to, you know, cook with seafood, and they want to know what to do. They want to do the whole thing themselves.
So. Yep.
Very, very good. Speaking of seafood, though, let's talk about this recipe that I put on the website that you sent me, Oregon Dungeness Crab Chipino. And it's pronounced cha.
I think Chipino, yeah. So there's plenty of debate on whether it's Chiapino or Chipino. I'm going to go with Chipino.
I'm going to go with Chipino. So kind of tell me how you put this together, because Chipino, it actually, in it, you have a lot of crab in it, but it actually makes a lot.
It does make, this actually makes a lot of soup. This is going to be enough soup for probably 6 to 8 people.
Okay.
And with Chipino, if you may want to make this a little bit smaller, because with Chipino, you're not going to want to let it sit in the fridge and then reheat it in the microwave, because the microwave is not going to do very nice things to your shellfish.
Yeah. So go ahead.
So there's a whole different, you know, everybody has their own different ideas of Chipino. Sometimes I like a spicier Chipino. This is just a straight run of the mill.
Middle
of the road, really nice Chipino. It's going to get you great results with your shellfish. It's got a lot of different things in it. We've got salmon in it, which is nice. It kind of brings that whole Oregon West Coast feel to this Chipino.
And the salmon isn't, because salmon can be a very strong flavored fish, but it doesn't overpower.
It adds that nice fish flavor to your stock, instead of having to use a court bouillon and having to go through trying to make your own court bouillon or buying a powdered mix from the store. If you use the salmon in this Chipino recipe, it invokes the flavors of the fish that you want in your Chipino.
Okay. So go ahead. You don't have to give the amount so much, because I have it on the website, but just kind of tell us how you do this. What's in it?
Okay. Well, you start with your, you get a can of high quality canned tomatoes, or hopefully you have some in the cupboard that you grew this summer. And then what you want to do is drain the liquid and reserve the liquid off separately. You can either crush your tomatoes with your hands if you decide to, or you can put it into a food processor. I suggest using a food processor, just because it's gonna be fast and easy, and everything will be pretty uniform. Add some celery to it, some nice sweet yellow onion. It's another nice real kind of local product, is some of the nice sweet onions that we get here on the West Coast. A little bit of garlic. All into your food processor, whirl it up, and so it's chunky. You know, not chunky, but not smooth. You don't want to be able to, you know, drink it with a straw. You want to have some body left on all of your items.
Okay.
Add it to a pan with some olive oil, or not olive oil. let it heat up a little bit. Reduce some of the liquid off of the original puree that you have. Add some flour to it so it starts to thicken up. Add the reserved tomato juice that you have, and then start cooking your seafood in it. So work with your crab. If you have fresh crab, you can cook it ahead of time, or you can take it and clean it while it's still fresh and alive. I mean, a lot of people may not want to do that, but you can take the shell off of the crab, clean it, and break it into your pieces, and add it directly into your pot and let that cook, which is also going to give you some more of those fish flavors and shellfish flavors into your soup that you want. But if you have a cooked crab, clean the crab and break it into pieces and add it in at that point. Get some small bay clams, Add your salmon fillet diced. Also add your Oregon bay shrimp.
Okay.
Bay shrimp are delicious. They're a little bit smaller than the big prawns.
Yeah.
But it's another nice local product.
Uh-huh.
Let it cook, and as the seafood cooks, as your clams start to cook, if some are smaller or cook faster than others, you can pull them out so you don't overcook your shellfish, because once you overcook your shellfish, they can really start to get chewy. So the best option is you can keep a close eye on it, because this is only going to take all about 10 minutes once you start adding into your shellfish. Keep an eye on it, and if those clams open up, you yank out your shellfish, reserve them to the side.
Uh-huh.
And then add them in after.
Okay. Just to warm them up a bit.
They'll be pretty warm because, like, yeah. I said, it's only going to take 10 minutes. You just don't want to overcook that shellfish. But since everything cooks a little bit different times, you just want to keep an eye on it. And there's a good chance that everything's going to be done right at the same time, too. Yeah, so.
Sounds really good. And like I said, I've put this recipe on the website, on the Cooking with Julia page. And it's a fun thing to do, especially on the weekends, you know, and getting some nice crusty bread and dipping it in there. And you can maybe even, if you like it a little bit spicier, you throw a little hot heat in there.
Yeah, throw some chili flakes in there. You know, in this recipe, if you want it a little bit spicier, I'd throw a teaspoon of chili flakes in there. A little sriracha sauce goes a long way.
Oh, sriracha is big right now. Yeah.
So,
I like it.
You know, a little squirt of sriracha will go a real long way in your soup. Not add a whole lot of pepper flavor, but give you that clean heat.
Yeah. So it sounds really good. And this is a good time to get this shellfish. It's a good time of year. And you might want to consider doing that. We already need to take a break again. Aaron, right. Thanks so much. We'll be back in just a few minutes. I have Aaron Leslie from Brand 33 Restaurant. We're talking about seafood and shellfish and all that yummy, yummy stuff. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Just around the corner, there's a rainbow in the sky.
And welcome back to Cooking with Julia. I'm Julia Gray. We have 44 degrees right now. We're going to be in the 50, I'm betting maybe even mid-50s today. And even though the clouds don't look too thick up there right now, it is gray skies, but we're supposed to have possibility of rain off and on actually throughout the entire weekend. So we'll just see. We might just have the gray skies. My guest today is Aaron Leslie from Brand 33 Restaurant out at Aspen Lakes. And we're talking about seafood and shellfish and all kinds of things that most people really like this stuff. There are some people that are allergic, but...
I feel sorry for people with really bad allergies.
I know. It's not fair.
Oh, it's not fair to them at all.
The next subject I wanted to tackle, which is your favorite, which is oysters.
Ooh, I love oysters.
Now, do you know how many kinds there are? Are there just tons of kinds?
Now, there's four varieties of oysters.
Okay.
There's flat oysters, Kuimoto oysters, Pacific oysters, and Atlantic oysters are the four varieties of edible oysters. And then from the four varieties, there are probably hundreds of different varietals.
Sure.
So.
What kind do you like using all of them?
I like all, they're for so many different reasons. They have so many different flavors, and depending on where you are, we were in New Orleans. And we had their giant flat oysters, and you know, they brought them out to the table, and I kind of sat back and I looked at them because they are a big oyster.
You can't just pop them in your mouth.
You can pop them in your mouth, but it's just overwhelming when you see how big these flat oysters are, and they come to your table. And I'm a big oyster fan, and to look at the size of these oysters and just think, oh my goodness, what did I get myself into? You know, once you get into it, it's the New Orleans oyster, it was very briny, it was very creamy, where the Pacific oysters, the Barren Point oysters, and the Kuimoto oysters that we get around here are more kind of buttery and plump, and they've got a nice salty flavor. And depending on the time of year, and this is the time of year when you really want to eat your Pacific Northwest oysters, because the waters are nice and cold. And the waters being nice and cold keeps the oysters from procreating. And something happens when the oysters start to procreate that they start to get more creamy and less buttery. It's a little less meaty and more plump. So it's not that there's anything necessarily wrong with an oyster that you get in August, but the oysters that you get now are just it's a real strong, perfect oyster. The flavors that you're looking for, especially if you're eating a nice fresh oyster.
So you're talking raw.
Yeah. I'm talking raw. I'm talking you open up the shell and not even raw, like you want that oyster alive.
Yeah.
You know, if you can see that when you open the shell and you look along the side of the gill, if the gill is still moving and kind of swaying, you know that you've gotten a live oyster and that it's there's no way that it's going to not be fresh for you.
Wow.
Once those gills start to lay over and start to look matted, then tend to start to want to stick them on the barbecue or, you know, throw them on the frying pan for a little bit. So
what do you serve with your live fresh oysters? What do you, how do you like them?
I like them so many different ways. I mean, it almost depends on what I'm served with them. If I'm just by myself eating some oysters, I don't mind a little squirt of lemon juice. If it's a really nice season and the oysters are nice and salty, they don't need anything. You know, a little, if they're in their own salt water, it's perfect the way it is. But a little bit of lemon juice, a little bit of hot sauce, you know, even a little bit of cocktail sauce every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a nice high quality cocktail sauce or homemade, you know, something with a little kick in it.
Yeah.
It's always, I just love to eat oysters.
Yeah. How else? But then you cook them. Have you ever tried to do the oysters Rockefeller? Holy grail of oyster preparation.
Yeah, that's right. Oyster Rockefeller is a very popular way to do it. I prefer my oysters live. But when I do eat a cooked oyster, I prefer to bread it in semolina flour and then just quick pan fry. So it's still got that nice and buttery flavor in the middle. Oysters Rockefeller is really good. I find that everything that you're putting on that oyster, though, is really just massive.
It's just
taking away from the oyster.
Yeah.
I was at a sushi restaurant and they... put an egg batter on top of the oyster and then bake the whole thing, and it was like a little oyster omelet.
Wow.
It's served in the shell, so the same idea as an oyster Rockefeller, but it was still delicious. I love oysters, so.
Yeah, apparently you do. Do you make an oyster stew?
Oyster stew, I definitely make an oyster stew.
How do you, some people have never heard of that or they don't know what it is.
It's
basically just oysters cooked in cream or milk, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's clam chowder. I mean, you can do with an oyster stew or a fisherman's stew, you can do almost anything that you want. But if you take your basic clam chowder recipe and substitute the clams for oysters, you've got yourself a very good oyster stew.
Okay. So it's got the butter or the bacon in there.
The bacon. The cream and the... and the flavor.
All right. So now he's hungry. Now he wants to go find some. Give me those oysters.
We're also doing oysters as part of our crab feed.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going to do barbecued oysters as part of the crab feed. So it's another one of my favorite ways. Just a little bit of salt and just kind of heat kissed just enough so it just kind of warms the top of the oyster and cooks it a little bit. And it's gives it that nice and smoky flavor.
And that's going to be on the 28th.
That's on the 28th.
So Jeff Thompson. You're going to be in for a real treat. Not only do you have crab, you got oysters.
Yeah, oysters, crab, pasta, bread.
Okay, we got just another minute left. Quickly, crayfish, langostino. Is that all the crawdads? Do you think they're all about the same type of animal?
I think the animal itself is almost the same. But just like any shellfish, depending on environment that it's grown in, what it's eating, and what kind of water it's living in, it's they're all freshwater shellfish.
Yeah.
And so some of them, I think the warmer the water that it lives in, the bigger the fish gets. And then also depending on if it's getting a lot of kelp, you're going to have a little bit saltier flavor. If it's eating a lot of just what kind of the bugs that live in the mud, then it's going to have that muddy, dirty flavor.
Yeah.
So
I found some of those. Not a fan.
Yeah. Some of the smaller crayfish have a really strong crayfish flavor.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of meat on them, but you know, if, and that's why in in the South when they're cooking their crawdads, it's a lot of Cajun flavor goes into that, you know, a lot of salt and a lot of heat. And so it kind of masks some of those strong dirt flavors that you would get.
We just got a little bit of time, and before we hit the highlights, real quick, scallops.
Ooh. my favorite.
Real quick, can you give me 30 seconds? Okay, scallops real quick. Sometimes they're real tiny, and you're saying that they're not really fake ones. They just take bigger scallops and make them.
Yeah, they take the giant sea scallops, and they take a bay scallop press, and they roll it over the giant sea scallop and pop out all these tiny little bay scallops out of it.
All right.
So that's one.
So it could be pretty safe. All right. Okay, we got it. Again, you've got about 30 seconds here. Once again, the crab feed at Brand 33 is the 28th.
The 28th.
We've
also got Ladies Martini Night. We've got Rib Night. We have Sunday brunch every Sunday where we do our own fresh baked pastries. We also have the Putting Dinner this Sunday. We're just so full of events. Just come check us out on aspenlakes.com.
I've got a link.
And check us out. Come on out.
Make the little drive. You will not regret it. Aaron, thank you so much as always. Ran out of time.
Julia, thank you for having me.
All right. And everybody have a great weekend. Next week, I've got Tim Garling from Jackalope Grill as my guest. Until then, everybody have a very, very great weekend. Stay safe.
KBND Bend, a combined communication station.